You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What is everybody doing? Welcome on into Dana and Parks. 913-586-7798.
Well, you can read that number all you want to. I've just been informed.
Please don't call.
Phones are not working, so you're welcome to call.
That's why I'm joking with the number, Sam. As I walked in, Jamie and Weir were walking out. And they're like, so the phones are down. Have fun with that.
You ever have one of those days where you just want to kind of rewind the clock a few hours to whenever you got out of bed and just say, you know what?
Yep.
I think I'll just stay here today.
That is the way today has gone. And we tried to get Brian Busby on here in the 2 o'clock hour. He's in a meeting. We're going to push that to sometime in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about the potential once again for severe weather later this afternoon and into tonight.
And man, those predictions have been all over the place. Initially, it was anywhere from 4 to midnight. It's moved forward. It's moved backward.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. We need to get the latest.
We'll get that figured out, I promise. We got a whole bunch of stuff in the stack today. Scott is off today. We'll be back tomorrow. One of the things I want to urge people to do, and I guess the internet was down here for a while too, but it's back.
Thank the Lord.
If you are on Twitter, because we have so many friends in town from all over the world, I am telling you, you have to follow Freddie. And we talked about this just for a very tiny snapshot in time yesterday, because everyone on Twitter was saying, you got to follow this guy. And his Twitter avatar thing is the German flag. He is in the United States for the first time in his life for the World Cup. And his he's been to Quick Trip, Sam. He's been to Bucky's.
Well, you got to go to Bucky's.
He has been to Wendy's. He's been to Taco Bell. And he just keeps posting throughout the day.
Right.
Like, he'll post some soccer things, but then he posts something about America that is newly discovered to him, who's never been in these. And I'm sure if I went over to London, I'd be doing the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, look, here's one of those red phone booths. Like, whatever.
I went for biscuits and they didn't give me a biscuit.
His handle is FreddyLA7. And very, very early this morning, he wrote dinner from Bucky's, 1 a.m. And he has gone from just a handful of followers to 260,000 followers in 2 days.
Wow.
Just over what he's posting about the United States. And let me just give you just a couple. We've only eaten fast food since arriving in the United States. We tried something different today. Vitamins. And the one on the right costs $15, by the way. He's got a naked protein shake, a banana, and some fruit. But then before that, it was Bucky's, a chicken sandwich at Walmart.
Well, he got like half of the Wendy's menu.
Late night tour around Auburn's campus because he's down south.
Nice.
He got to see some fireworks. But I think we sometimes forget, even, you know, he shows the sunset. He shows the stadiums. He shows there's an eagle flying around one of the stadiums he visited last night. And I think sometimes we forget, especially, ooh, look at that sunset in the south, how beautiful parts of the United States really are. We get used to what we have here.
Yeah, I mean, my entire life, it's been dreaming about going to Bora Bora or Fiji, or I need to go see this one waterfall in China. We have so much real estate here in the United States and so many different climates, quite frankly.
Yeah.
All we have to do is stay within our own borders. Now, if you want to have the argument of it's much cheaper to go to those places, not getting there, but once you get there, that's a fair argument. But we have some stunning things in the United States, and people from Europe are kind of amazed by how spread out everything is.
Like Chili's, as he watched the NBA Finals 2 nights ago. You're getting a lot of fast food, and all of that makes me smile. Yeah, so follow him. He's FreddyLA7 on Twitter, and I'm sure he's got a link to Facebook or whatever other social media channels that you happen to be on. So, where do we start today?
A lot of stuff in the stack.
Let's start with Lee Summitt.
Okay.
This is how we ended the show yesterday. And I am going to stand up for the Lee's Summit Police Department today. And I know we have a lot of police officers listening, so thank you for that. The Kansas City Star headline had me going, what? Headline reads, how will Lee's Summit Police regroup after the downtown day's chaos and cancellation? And here's where I'm going to defend the police department if you've seen that video.
Okay.
How many officers, how many security guards did they have there? And I understand people are mad. They are shutting down downtown days after 40 years.
They beefed up security.
Yep, for the third year in a row, thousands of teenagers over the couple of days really just showed up to wreak havoc there.
In 2026, the trend is called the teen takeover.
It's called the teen takeover.
That was not a trend last year or the year before. That was just a bunch of ne'er-do-wells doing what ne'er-do-wells do.
And so if you guys have not seen the video, if you just picture hundreds and hundreds of kids running for their lives as if someone has shouted gun or run.
Or bomb or fire.
There were families trapped in the middle of it. And it was absolute chaos, but I will ask you, and then we'll get to this story here, what in the heck more could Lee's Summit Police have done here? They were outmanned, what, 50 to 400?
Pretty much. Really quickly, an update before you get into that. There has now been a tornado watch.
Thank you.
Issued for Andrew, Buchanan, Caldwell, Carroll, Clay, DeKalb, Gentry, Grundy, Harrison, Holt, Jackson, Lafayette, Lynn, Livingston, Mercer, Nottoway, Platt, Ray, Saline, and Worth counties in Missouri.
Switching over now.
Follow all that.
There it is. That is the tornado. Yep, there it is.
Jackson is included. It's basically all of northwest, excuse me, Missouri.
We'll get to that bullseye in a minute. Okay, this is the story. After 3 years of disruptions culminated in a series of fights on downtown days in Lee Summit this weekend, the police department says it planned to revisit security procedures for the city's largest festival. Now, the department, they write, won't have that venue to prove it can improve its response. The board of directors of downtown Lee's Summit Main Street announced this week that downtown days will not return in 2027. It's just done. This year's event ended with a rash of fights among teenagers Saturday night that took law enforcement nearly 2 hours to shut down, with multiple jurisdictions called in to respond. As of today, no injuries have been reported, although we had families call in to say they will never, ever go back again.
We had a guy that was talking about how last year there were people on e-bikes throwing snow cones in people's faces.
Here's the sentence that just infuriates me. No charges have been filed against any of the teens involved, including the two that were temporarily detained and then released to parents. We know that one of them, at least one of them, unleashed bear spray into the crowd, and another one brought a 3D-printed ghost gun to the event.
Well, and I think that's what's so damning about the video in that Star story is there are multiple teenagers wailing on a Lee's Summit police officer. That is assault on a police officer.
I have seen the same video, Sam.
Why are we not putting these people behind bars?
Well, newly elected Lee's Summit Mayor Beto Lopez issued a statement last night calling the incidents at downtown days unfortunate and saying that the tone of the event did not reflect ongoing efforts to make Lee's Summit a public safety-minded city. The incident does not define our city or reflect who we are, he says. We are a strong, thriving community. It is extremely unfortunate that this occurred at the end of what was otherwise a great weekend. The department's policies for large-scale public events will be tested again soon as tourists begin to arrive in Lee's Summit, Kansas City, for the World Cup. A spokesperson says they're ready for that. We had more enforcement there in personnel, drones, security cameras. Presence is what we have to do in these situations. However, according to the police department, police were unprepared to sustain a response on foot as those multiple fights broke out. Apparently, the series of fights, you guys, weren't even necessarily connected to one another. Started around 7:40, continued for an hour and a half. And I will ask you again, what was the police department supposed to do? We'll look up the numbers. I think they said there were 30 officers there and another, let's say, 20 security. Let's say there were 50 officers there.
Yeah.
These are hundreds of kids in a coordinated manner, all running through this event to create chaos. In what world is a police officer standing over here by the snow cone tent or a police officer over there by the funnel cake tent going to stop hundreds of teenagers hell-bent on chaos? Well, what more were they supposed to do?
Even then, if the hundreds of them do make it into the event and are just co-mingling with all of the people that are actually there to enjoy the event, and then they all start running, what are you supposed to do?
913-586-7798. And keep in mind, this was the third year they had problems. So they added security. They added cameras. I don't know what you do when a flash mob of teenagers descends on what is supposed to be a family-friendly event.
And by the way, from the text line, I can neither confirm nor deny this, but this is a claim from the text line. Friends of mine say that this teen takeover thing is happening in downtown Lee Summit every single weekend, not just downtown days. There are businesses that are considering closing down early to keep it from happening because they'll put a security guard at the front door, but these kids will just run in and out like they have no sense.
I would be furious. Where are the charges? 913-586-7798. We'll take your call straight ahead on Dana and Parks. So I just got an email and a text of the tornado watch, and this is not just on the Missouri side, Sam, because if it's coming into my phone, this is on the Kansas side as well.
Yeah, so basically if you draw a massive, thick diagonal line from just south of Kansas City to the Iowa border, and that diagonal line goes down into central Kansas, all of those counties are included. I can read them all Atchison, Douglas, Leavenworth, Wyandotte.
Take a long time to read them all off. KCK, basically our entire listening area. Would you not agree?
Absolutely, yeah, unless you are on the southern edges of our listening area, yeah.
Tornado watch, please be weather aware today as we continue talking about what more the city of Lee Summit could have done outside of charging people, making sure the people coming in are from Lee's Summit, which I think is unfair to the surrounding cities, making sure maybe teenagers have an adult chaperone. What else could they have done? And we're hearing from more of you who were there or knew someone who was there when all of this went down. Let's go to Paula in Lee's Summit. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Dana. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I wish it was for a better reason.
Yeah, me too. I just wanted to correct something. The news keeps saying there were no injuries, and there were indeed. There was a very serious injury. My dear friend's daughter, who is in her 40s, was there to get a funnel cake and go on the Ferris wheel, and somebody, that sentence is somebody yelled gun or run, whatever, and the mob started, and they ran over her. And people continued to run over her. She was not only thrown to the ground and ended up hitting her head and went to ICU with a brain bleed. She, her entire body is bruised. Arms, legs, back. A good Samaritan finally ran over and got her, took her into a business who was very kind and locked his door. And they got her to the hospital, and she is recuperating. I was just there today, and she is still in really bad shape. So,
well, and probably terrified, Paula. That would be absolutely terrifying.
She said it's the worst thing that's ever happened to her in her life, and she's had many health issues. She can't get over it. She's just shaking. It was horrible. And you know, they did file a police report, so I'm not sure why they're saying there were no injuries, because there indeed was a report filed.
Thank you, Paula. And on top of that, there were cameras there everywhere. We know that one of the things that the police department brought in were additional cameras, as well as additional officers, additional security personnel.
Right.
And so I just, you know, and this isn't on the police. This would be on the police to present the case to the prosecutor's office and the prosecutor to file charges. They at least have to know who two or three of these agitators were, because at one point they had them in custody.
Well, and the one other thing, though, when the police came to the house, which came and they filed the report, the first thing they said was there was no crime here because it wasn't deliberate.
Oh,
yeah.
The heck it wasn't.
Said. Yeah. So that kind of bothered them, that that was the first reaction. And he questioned if they still wanted to file a report. And of course they did.
Yes.
She has. You know, think of the medical bills, ICU, two CAT scans. She's going to miss probably 2 weeks of work. She's it's awful.
Yeah. How long has she been in the hospital? Has she been released yet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's home.
Okay. Well, tell her.
She's not home. She's with her mom.
Yeah. Tell her we are so sorry, Paula, truly so sorry and just angry, really, really, truly angry about what happened.
Yeah. And that's the way I am. And that's why when I heard again, I've listened to this the last couple of days and listened to you all. And when it said again, there were no injuries, I went, okay, I got to call.
I'm glad that you did, Paula. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Uh-huh. And we wish her a speedy recovery. 913-586-7798.
And I wonder, do we need to take a similar approach to some of the conversations we had regarding the sideshows? It's obvious that these are not organic decisions. It's not a bunch of kids without ne'er-do-well ideas in mind showing up. It's not like all of these kids showed up to the Summit Days, got their snow cones, and said, you know what? I think at some point we should cause some problems. They got together on social media, they planned this, and then they showed up and wreaked havoc. It's going to happen again this summer at another festival around town. It's going to happen again probably at Westport, probably at the Plaza, maybe Zona Rosa.
So then the question becomes then, Sam, what is a police department supposed to do? Because this comes down to numbers. There aren't enough security and police officers to stop hundreds of kids running through a very small funneled in area.
Yeah.
Someone called in yesterday, very well-meaning listener, and said, why didn't they just start
spraying with water guns?
Spraying with water or, you know, water projectiles or mace. This is a
tear gas
crowded event packed with families. There is no way any police response could include non-lethal force like that without causing panic, trampling.
I mean, it is almost riot behavior, right? The problem is that you then get all of the bystanders, for lack of a better term, in the crossfire.
913-586-7798. We'll take more calls on this straight ahead. You are listening to Dana and Parks. You know, I will say this, if this was eight kids causing problems, we would not be having this conversation. This was hundreds and hundreds in a coordinated effort to cause problems. And really quick, we're going to go to Kurt first and then like talk a little bit about the police response moving forward. Kurt, welcome on in. Go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, Dana. And Scott, we miss you. My thing is this. I was telling Sam, we didn't have this problem at Spirit Fest back in the day. I mean, we had to deal with maybe drunk or disorderly people or anything like that. But now in this day and age, we have these instances with all these kids around and everything. And then they beg the question, well, they have nowhere to go. Yes, they do. And I know Mayor Lucas said that yesterday in his Facebook post. And I feel really hurt and mad that they canceled Lee Summit because of this incident. And I know for a fact that law enforcement was present. It was originally Lee Summit. Then they called Jackson County. Then the Highway Patrol was involved. And all those agencies have mutual aid agreements. So that was the good thing, is that, you know, law enforcement was able to take care of the problem before it continued to spiral out of control. And I told Sam, what's the next event that these kids are going to possibly, quote-unquote, take over and then we'll lose another festival because they can't keep themselves in one area or occupy themselves.
Oh, Kurt, you cut out there. The photo of the police officer down on his hands and knees with four or five of these kids, all, for lack of a better word, they're on him.
Putting a whooping on him.
Yes, is...
really quickly, before we get to Mark, I just looked it up. The problem is the Missouri law. Missouri juvenile detention standards release them to their parents unless there are substantial reasons showing they pose a continuing risk to themselves or the public.
There were 20 officers to staff downtown days. On top of that, 13 private security officers. So they had about 35 officers and then two additional agencies were called in to help. But by then, this had already happened. And let's go to retired police captain Mark Turman. I've been wanting to get your thoughts on this since we first heard they're just going to cancel this thing, Mark, which makes me so angry. I don't know what more could be done.
Well, hi, Dana. Hi, Sam. And Dan, if you're there. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Always.
There is so much to this, and this has been going on back when I started in 1985. We've had issues throughout the metropolitan area. It's been the same issues, whether it's on Nolan Road in Independence, whether it's in Westport, in KCK, in Overland Park, it doesn't matter. There's a couple aspects to this which I think really haven't been talked about much. Number one is the prevention aspect, is that you get people really working, paying attention to the Facebook posts, department people paying attention, keeping an ear to the city, an ear to the people. And a lot of people will say that's where police departments have lost a little bit of connection, is that we don't hear it. I think we do, but then we have to act on it. Number two is the aspect of the prevention. When people are coming in, is that you have choke points. You have areas where you can scan, where you can talk to people, and that there's a greater presence. A great example is the parade, down in Westport, where what we do is we have basically four cops at every intersection all the way down. But you'll have 250,000 people. They are everywhere. But you've got enough crowd control and you've got enough police officers to do the prevention. Number three is the fact that when they're there, that there's a planned attack. So, for example, Major League Baseball for years has used a cry level approach to dealing with their disturbances. They'll have their people in, I think it's the blue shirts, they go talk to a person who's causing an issue. Then they have a person in a yellow shirt go talk to them. Then they have a red shirt. And finally, if that doesn't work, that's security. Then they call the police in. And NFL does the same thing. So you really have to be very strategic. And you have this laid out. And you have, you know, specific assignments for people. So Lee Summit giving up on it, I understand they're frustrated. I think there are other ways to run it. I'm not going to second guess what they've done. To Sam's point, dealing with juveniles in the state of Missouri is unbelievably frustrating. It is off the charts. And that's something that police departments can't fix. That has to be the legislature. They have to go back and create the laws and create the ability that if somebody assaults a person, whether it's a police officer or somebody else, that the child's taken in.
Yeah.
Even if it's for 24 hours, whatever the time is.
And where would that be, Mark? Really, like when you're talking about juvenile detention, where would they physically go in Jackson County?
26 and Cherry. So that's where the juvenile detention area is, JJJC. They do that. I don't know if the new Jackson County Jail has a provision to hold juveniles specifically, because juveniles, the laws regarding the detention of juveniles are very specific and they're very intense. And a department can get itself in trouble very quickly, legally, if they don't do it right. Sam?
And Mark, the law says it requires, quote, substantial reasons to be able to hold a juvenile in detention, even for more than a few hours. What would that substantial reason be?
Well, in my opinion, I think hitting a person, well, like I said, whether a police officer or not, is a substantial reason. I think an assault is always a substantial reason. That said, I think they've really aimed it for getting warrants for the people, getting that the whatever the police agency is working with the judges and the prosecutor's office and getting a warrant for the person after they've been identified.
And that burden of proof,
I think there's,
and that burden of proof would fall on the agency. So basically, as you mentioned, if they don't have a laundry list of, well, this guy was probably going to go, you know, commit another extreme felony crime, then they have to let him go. Otherwise, they're subject to a lawsuit.
Well, it's not the aspect of if they will, because we don't do predictive crime arrest.
Right.
So what you just said there is predictive crime. What we do is that we look at the totality of the circumstance and discuss, is this person going to, are they likely to injure somebody by their actions, what their actions have just done? So, for example, hitting a police officer, if they're willing to hit a police officer who's armed and who's an official representative, it's reasonable to say that, well, they're going to hit them. They have no regard for anybody else. Let's hold them until we get the system rolling and get a warrant out for them.
A lot of people yesterday, Mark, and I've been to Downtown Lee Summit several times, but it's been a while. And a lot of people were saying it is much harder to control a crowd with multiple arteries in and out and down narrow streets like an old downtown. And that could go for any city in the metropolitan area that we're talking about. Do you agree with that? And are sometimes these events easier to get a handle on in more of a wide open space where you control the point of entry?
Well, it certainly depends. I don't know that there's a clear answer to that. I know I feel more comfortable in a city such as Lee Summit, because there are lots of different things you can do to steal the area off, on the one hand. On the other hand, I understand people's desire for point control,
sure,
and that you could run people through a metal detector, for example, having that, which I think is going to happen more. If you look at FIFA and a lot of the prep going on with FIFA up at the mall, they're going to have lots of people coming in and out, and everybody will be run through a metal detector. I know we had the horrible shooting at the Chiefs parade, but there are a lot of instances where most of those points were controlled. And you had, that's an example of, you had so many points of access.
Yeah.
And you can have a uniform presence, but without specific metal detectors at those points, which is almost impossible to do with parade, it's very hard.
You know, and Mark, we just wonder, is this something that after 40 years, they're going to take a break? This obviously did not work this year. They had issues the year before. They had issues the year before, all with teenagers. And then maybe they bring it back new and even better and just take a harder look at some of these things. It's hard for me to blame anyone in Lee Summit. They worked so hard on this, and they did address security year to year, that my heart's just kind of broken for everybody involved.
No, I totally agree. I hope they do. I hope they bring it back. I hate it when the mob mentality wins.
Yeah.
I think that we should win. We, the citizens, should win on this, not the mob. And if it takes me running through a metal detector, hey, I'm great with that.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it.
Happy to do it. The bigger issue, the bigger issues, I don't know that they'll be able to get, like the juvenile issues, may not be handled. So if they're not going to be handled, then we have to work another way.
913-586-7798 is the phone number if you'd like to weigh in. Mark, thank you always for your expertise, and you be well, my friend. It's good to hear your voice.
You too. It's great to talk. Call in time.
913-586-7798. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back much more later to wrap this topic. And then straight ahead, you know that we have a shortage when it comes to the number of organs we need versus the number of patients who need them. A local woman has a very interesting outside-of-the-box way to let people know that, hey, you could save a life, and that life could be hers or someone you love. We're going to talk about that straight ahead. It's one of my favorite stories today here on Dana and Parks. Stick with us. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to John in Lewisburg with a very interesting idea. John, hello, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, my thought is, to let a bunch of kids ruin a 40-year tradition makes no sense. Bring in some National Guard unit, 100 soldiers or something, give them something to do and say, okay, bring it on. We're ready for you.
The National Guard.
Not sure that's going to work too well, but I mean, hey, it might be a deterrent
kind. It would absolutely be a deterrent.
A bunch of guys with rifles and
dogs.
Yeah.
But are we going to call in the National Guard for the plaza and the Lee Summit Festival? And then there's the state fairs.
Come on over to downtown days.
Sam, there's the state fairs.
By the way, we're talking about the downtown days and Lee Summit calling it quits. And what could police have done? Part of the reason why no juveniles were held in custody overnight is because of the way the Missouri law is written. You have to have substantial reasons to detain a juvenile beyond a couple of hours in the state of Missouri. And apparently hitting a cop or hitting a police officer
somehow did not rise to that level.
Not substantial.
Let's go to Gary in Lee's Summit. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Apparently, the first thing is we need to change the law. But beyond that, one possible solution for the areas that we can control the boundaries on, like World of Fun and festivals and stuff,
yeah,
would basically be like a security deposit when you enter. So you walk in and you have to pay an extra $100, $250 fee, whatever, and you get a bracelet. And then when you check out, you get it back. But if you misbehave, then it's forfeited, and maybe that'll stop some of this.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I don't hate it. We talked about if you lived in Lee Summit and you have a school ID or driver's license, whatever, and you live in the city, you can come in. If you are outside of the city, traveling in to go to somebody else's city's downtown festival, you have to pay $20 to get in and wear a bracelet or something of that nature. I don't know that you can do deposits. And
that's not fair to the good people that want to go.
I agree. But like, Sam, maybe this is just my age. I don't have toddlers anymore, so we're not looking to do things like the downtown festivals.
Oh, it's fun.
I would go to probably my own city's downtown festival, but I'm not going to get in the car and drive to someone else's downtown festival.
I hear you.
But maybe that's just me being old.
Look at the booths, maybe grab a snow cone,
Yeah, grab a funnel cake. I don't have full time.
Right.
Johnny in Overland Park, wrap us up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I worked in the juvenile system in the past. I did a lot of conflict resolution. I do that now with counseling because problems and issues are everywhere. Just to provide a brief premise, when I was a kid, I was bitten. I was bitten in the bum by a Doberman pincher. The owner had to appear in court, and the judge ordered the owner to pay for my medical expenses. The only way, Dana, that we can bring some sort of conflict resolution to all of this and this team problem in the plaza, and you know, we're not the only city struggling with this. All the major cities are going through something like this. But the only way we can keep kids in line in order is by holding their parents responsible. All these kids that were in trouble over the Lee Summit days, all these kids that have been down to the plaza, if we start ticketing and fining the parents and we start having the parents appear in court because they are the parents of these minors and their kids are causing a ruckus, their kids are causing mass chaos and confusion. Once the parents have to pay up, once the parents have to take time off of work and show up in court, once the parents have skin in the game, I bet you their kids' behavior will not continue to be what it is, because the parents will be sure that they keep their kids in line, because otherwise this is going to continue. But once you start fining the parents, once parents have to show up in court for their kids' actions, that's when the system will begin to change.
Johnny, I hope you're right. I would like to think in a perfect world that you are right, that the parents have some responsibility.
He brings up an interesting point, though. Why don't the parents have some responsibility? If my dog bites someone...
We wouldn't even be talking about this right now if we were able to bring parents in to be liable for their child's behavior.
Why aren't they? You're responsible for them in every other way. Probably, if I had to guess... Their behavior is a product of the way that you raised them.
I am not saying they shouldn't be responsible for their children's behavior. I'm saying legally, I don't know how you can hand them accountability outside of the very narrow case where you are handing your mentally disturbed child a gun and saying, don't go shoot up a school, and then they do. We are starting to see those cases prosecuted.
I think you make an entirely separate class of laws. If your child commits this, your penalty as a parent is this. That is shocking. His analogy there, the fact that we are more responsible for our dogs than our children, that's a problem.
It's a great point, and it is a problem. 913-586-7798. When we get back, organ donation. Too few of us need a donor organ. Too many of us, pardon me, and too few of us are donating. That has been a problem for years and years. And a woman in Overland Park now has a different idea. She's advertising her need all over town. We're going to talk with the Midwest Transplant Network about her case. Straight ahead, you are listening to Dana and Parks. Time to break for the news. Dan Weinbaum is here for that.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.